Welcome back, everybody, to the Business of Money podcast. I am your host, Nia Patrick. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks for showing up and joining in. So my when I'm always introducing my podcast or my video or anything that I'm posting that I can see, I have this hook. When your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. And I want to tell you where that originated from. A little background on this Business of Money podcast and that hook. One, money is not really talked about in the solopreneur community. Only marketing, really on social media, using other platforms. And I wanted to change that so that the mindset of the solopreneur, which is my mindset, so I'm only sharing what I believe in, my background and my expertise and stuff like that, is to change from being just either a content creator or running, you thinking your business is small, when if you think bigger in terms of your business and you take hold of the financial part of your business, you can really, really do something very special because you'll have the cash flow to do what you want to do and make the investments. But anyway, I used to have a library of business books and I gave them all up and I had them ever since I graduated from my MBA program, and that was almost 30 years ago. So I had this library of books that when I went through my divorce, I took all my textbooks. When I moved from one state to another, the only thing I took was my books. And I had those books all the way up, and I built my library, my business library of information that I would refer to regularly. Part of me regrets giving up my books, but I relied heavily on my books instead of creating content from my experiences or building a business from my experiences, blah, blah, blah. It was an idea when Brendan Burchard was talking about productizing your expertise. That's nothing new, by the way. People keep repackaging the same information. That's what consulting is. That's when you go out on your own business, you're only sharing your expertise, but everybody's making it seem like this is something new. Well, for the younger generation, it is. For us old heads, it's not. But anyway, there was this book about being a one-person business, and it focused on the financial side of the business. And I can't think of the name of the book. If I get a chance, I will update the podcast post to have it, because I'm going to have a list of those books that influenced who Nia is today, the emergence of WWI and all that background story. But anyway, the subtitle of the book was When Your Business Is Your Paycheck. It just didn't say you can't afford to guess. It was when your business is your paycheck, this is why you have to set your business up a certain way. And I was like, that's brilliant, because most of us did not think of our business as a paycheck. It was a business serving a community and things like that. But that's where that I added on, you can't afford to guess, because I can't guess. I can't guess in my business when it comes to the financial part. The marketing part, I can take a, I call it taking a risk, is what it really is. Taking a risk, creating this, a business's purpose is to solve what's considered a problem, I put that in quotes, out in the market. But today, with Dan Coe, who is one of my favorite content creators. He's not a content creator, my favorite business person. He's like, solve your own damn problems. And Daniel Pink said the same thing. And the guy who did the 4-Hour Work Week, these are all the folks I've been influenced by in terms of building my business, is solve your own damn problems. If you have a cash flow problem, create a business. Don't go get a second job. The second job is you focusing on solving your money problems. That's where side hustles came from. Except somebody took that and just made companies out of people being able to have cash flow. So that's where, when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess came from. Have a tagline that you can hang on. Don't use mine. To have a tagline that you can hang on to, by the way, for your business. So let me dive into today's session. I just wanted to kind of let you know that, you know, that's where that whole tagline came from. Give you a little tea on the Business of Podcasts and Women's Wealth Institute. So as I'm saying, when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. And you really are guessing more than you realize. How are you doing that? You're guessing on revenue. You are posting your products on platforms, and you have to, especially if this is your first time, and you don't understand the financial and tax consequences on how that impacts your revenue. You're guessing on expenses because you underestimate the cost of running on someone else's platform. And I'm gonna tell you now, I have my own platform. So I'm only a proponent of my own platform where I control the whole process because I'm a control freak. But because I run a business, I don't have a side hustle. So I have my, and I'm not saying that for those content creators out there and those who are on platforms is something that there's a wrong decision. Everyone doesn't want 100% ownership. They want to be able to distribute their products and services. That's okay, right? That's okay. But you're guessing on expenses. You're guessing on taxes because you aren't estimating your taxes on a regular monthly basis, and you're guessing on growth. And you're calling what you're doing, you're calling it strategy, period. And the strategy is, this is how I'm going to build my empire. This is how I'm going to change my family. This is how I'm going to build generational wealth. You cannot build generational wealth without having a plan and without guessing. People who build generational wealth are not guessing. They have a plan. They have a vision, and they own the system. They own the processes. So let me tell you why guessing feels normal today when it comes to being a one-person business. One, entrepreneurship as a whole is marketed as bold, fast, and decisive. You're an entrepreneur if you have an Etsy shop, if you resell stuff on Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace, if you thrift and you resell items, if you go to Home Goods, you take pictures, you see what it's worth, you are on eBay, that they're calling that entrepreneurship. It is, because you are finding your customers and your customers are finding you for your products and services. I'm not taking away from that, but guessing feels normal because everyone is, including myself, is telling you the best way to control your future is to own your income. However, guessing feels also normal because nobody talks about financial visibility. No one is telling you that you need to have a financial structure in place. They're just telling you sell, sell, sell. But no, and then some people are telling you you want to be able to deduct this, you want to deduct. Now, nobody talks about deducting hauls when they're on Amazon, when they are showing on YouTube what they bought and how they're using it, and these are the 10 best products. that Amazon has that you need to have, things like that. There's no one talking about financial visibility for the one-person business. They're usually talking about that when they're making 10, 15 million, but not really financial visibility within the business. Guessing also feels normal because forecasts are treated like certainty. Forecast, meaning you're able to forecast your revenues into the future because those are milestones, goalposts, and you can see what your cash flow looks like. And it gives you a bit of a roadmap, but it's uncertain because you're not sure. It just gives you an idea, but forecasts are treated like certainty. And revenue numbers create confidence even when they shouldn't. Revenue has a lot of hidden costs. And when revenue has a lot of hidden costs, because you don't have a financial system in place, at the end of each year, most one-person businesses get huge surprises. And if they're on a platform, algorithms change, or you find that your followers aren't necessarily purchasing from you because you're providing free content. That's what I mean by they. Some might buy, but not a lot. That's where your revenue numbers create confidence even when they shouldn't. So guessing feels normal because everyone around you is doing it, but normal does not mean sustainable. And again, the algorithm can change on you on any platform. I pay for YouTube Premium. You know why I pay for YouTube Premium? Because YouTube Premium at the gate made me pay. And they run these crazy ads, which we all hate. So I pay for the YouTube Premium so I don't have to hear the ads. And then when I'm managing my cash flow, I don't want to pay for YouTube Premium because I keep raising the price. And I'm like, I'm not paying that. I'm not paying that. On top of raising the price, YouTube Premium is one price on my Windows laptop. And it's another price on my MacBook. So I have to open up my Windows-based laptop, go into YouTube Premium, and pay the amount. If I do it on my phone, if I do it on my MacBook, I'm paying more. So I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go free. I think I went free for a month and it drove me nuts. Ad after ad after ad. I'm not mad at it, but I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that. And I said, one day, social media is going to catch on. Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Facebook are going to catch on that all these people are not paying. You can have the ads where people are paying for the ads so that they get the visibility. However, those days are gone because now Meta's introduced the subscription model. Why? Because people are on the, they have a billion, millions and millions and millions of people on their platform and no one's paying. Only for the ads or whatever else little things that they have. Now they're starting to get people to try to subscribe. And they're going to move to a subscription model. I guarantee. Because my site is getting ready to move to a whole subscription model. Right now, everything is free. And some people visit, some people don't. That's not a problem. But I have something up. I have my own platform. Now I'm Facebook, YouTube, Insta, Pinterest, the whole nine. And now I can charge subscription. And those who want to interact with me and stay with my Women's Wealth Institute, they will subscribe. Because of the value, because of the content, because of the what I'm putting into the business, me being visible, like that's a lot of work I have to do, but I believe I'm watching platforms do this with the freemium model. And it just takes time because I believe in what I'm doing. And if you're listening to me, you might too. And I always encourage everyone, you need your own website and your website needs to be a platform. So when I say normal doesn't mean sustainable, what I'm saying is when you don't own this system, you are, it's like you have a job. You don't own a job. You don't, you're not the CEO. You didn't create the company. You didn't create payroll. You did nothing. You just worked there. And it's always amazing when people complain about their jobs. You don't own the job. They can fire you at any time. So same thing for these platforms. They can get rid of you just because, right? People can report you just because. So you have to find something that you have more ownership so that your business is sustainable and you can build wealth through it. So where do solopreneurs get the most? Let's keep this practical. Solopreneurs guess when they say, I think I can afford that. Whether it is a new subscription, they're buying inventory, they are hiring employees, which is the biggest cost that an employer, one-person businesses incur is when they believe that, oh, I don't want to have to do this. I'm going to hire somebody to do it. Do you know, even whether it's an independent contractor or whether it's somebody who's actually on payroll? Payroll is expensive. And if your revenues aren't able to support you, trying to support an employee has so much administrative legal costs. Administrative and legal costs from the local level all the way up to the regional level, all the way up to the federal level. And it's something that should very much be considered, right? And not that you can't do it. It's just, we think you can afford an employee. I bet you can't. And then another place where solopreneurs guess is revenue is up, so we're good. Says who? Based on what? Did you look back? Same day sales? Same month sales? Same time sales? Is it consistent? Does it dip in certain areas? How did you gain that? Do you know where your revenue is coming from? Just because the number, there's a number up, but there's a history behind the number. Next quarter will be better is another place where solopreneurs guess. Based on what? Are you looking at statistics? Are you looking at the market? Are you paying attention to what's going on in the economy? Most one-person businesses do not pay attention to the economy. They're only in their own bubble. Most one-person businesses don't pay attention to the financial news. They pay attention to local news that give them local information. Who's been murdered? Who's been robbed? What's going on in, you know, the political arena? Things like that, but not the business news. Nobody's reading the Wall Street Journal. Nobody's reading the Financial Times. Nobody's reading Forbes. Nobody's keeping track of what's going on in the stock market. Most people are complaining about their jobs and they see an inflation. They don't see, and I know that, and it's around the people I'm around. So I'm learning to separate myself from people who don't pay attention to the overall business environment when making decisions. And my sister and I have this conversation all the time. It's like she complains, not complains, we share about different experiences. And when she says something, I'm like, but you're a business owner. So this is a, and I say this to every, in the one person business, every single one, they're like, oh my God, I don't understand. Prices are a bit high. That's a good thing for you as a business owner when prices are high. Raise your price. Everybody else's. That's how it works. And when you see big business raise your price, you need to raise your price every single time. Or figure out where you can lower your price and creating something that's higher price. That's how business works. But if you're thinking as a consumer, which is why you guess, instead of thinking as a business owner because you're afraid to lose clients. You want to lose clients. You want to lose low-paying clients. How do you think businesses are getting rich? Because they raise their prices. Yes, we're living in inflationary times as a consumer, not as a business. So when you're looking at next quarter, did you raise your prices Or are you guessing that next quarter is going to be okay because you got new followers? Followers is the same thing as customers. Customers peak, kick the tires, right? Clients pay you real money, right? Customers kind of come and go. I learned that a long time ago in business school, and I learned it from various folks who ran businesses and talk about the customer and the client. Now everybody wants a client versus a customer. Customers are wonky. Clients stick with you, right? And then the most place where business owners guess is I'll figure out taxes later. They don't estimate taxes. They don't do their bookkeeping on a regular basis, meaning that they aren't closing their books, or I'll get somebody to do that for me because I really don't know accounting. I don't know numbers, and you could be getting robbed. You don't know, right? You don't know enough about operating the financial side of your business or trust yourself, and you're not willing to learn because you're like, I'm a business owner. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a bookkeeper. I'm not this. I'm not that. Until you don't understand your numbers, and that person who's doing it for you is not helping you, and they're not going to explain it to you because you're a customer, not a client. So emotional confidence is not financial clarity. Let that sit for a minute. Emotional confidence is not clarity in your business. You have to take control of the financial operation. You are the CFO of your business. You direct what your bookkeeper gives you, not the other way around. And you don't make decisions based on emotions. You make them on pure numbers. And if you don't understand your numbers, you're not paying attention to how the market affects your numbers. You cannot build stability. So let me tell you about the real cost of guessing. Stress that doesn't make sense. Stressing over the number of followers is useless. Stressing over subscribers is useless. Stressing over likes is useless. Stressing over hype me up. I see this so much on YouTube. Hype me up, follow, hit the like button because of the YouTube algorithm. See, that doesn't make sense to me. What makes sense is how many join me on my platform, migrate to my website, join my private live group that we show up. This is the public live. Go hit me up on my, you know, shop my products and services. Let me promote it throughout my life or whatever the case may be. Shop my Amazon. Or shop my, even if the link is in Amazon, you're still directing traffic to the website. So stressing about the likes, shares, and subscribes is just the YouTube algorithm or TikTok or whatever, but that's their platform. You want to get them off of that platform and into your community. So the thing is, go subscribe to my website. Yes, like, share, and subscribe is important, but the real focus is to get them to your platform. The next one, the real cost of guessing, is overworking without stability. Time is being spent on these platforms, giving just like a job. Get them off that platform and move them to your own ecosystem. And focus on moving that traffic. And then cater to the ones who buy the products consistently, who show up consistently, the ones who are engaging with you and interacting with you. That's a goal. That's my goal, right? I did some shorts a couple of days ago. I might do some more because I see it getting really, really nice outside. I'm off today, and I think I'm going to go sit by my pool and record most of my videos today. And as you notice, the Business and Money Podcast is all audio. I have 563 views and I think I got like 5 likes and I'm sitting in my pool. That's nice, but those are just shorts. That's just visibility for me starting to get visible in my business and then creating like a kind of like a lifestyle content. And that leads to, it's on my site and now I'm doing my podcast and I'm only doing audio because I don't want to have to show my face or I'll never get it done. So I will, in terms of getting ready for anything where I have to show my face takes too long. I have to put my makeup on. I got to do my hair. I got to make sure the background. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm stressing and I'm overworking and I have no one's bought anything from me yet. So now the goal is to get to build my content library, keep it short and sweet. And I see I'm already at 25 minutes. I'm going to try not to waste your time here. I'm trying not to make them too long. And I can already see it's going a little long, right? We all get into this loop if you're going to create content. But you need a content library. Someplace you can direct them to on your platform and off the social media platform. So what I'll do is post on my, and I'm doing all of my podcasts. I'm just recording and posting. I'm going to try to keep them to 15 minutes. We'll see. Right now, I'm at 26 minutes. One picture, some audio, something I can give them. I don't know what my audience will click on, but I know that they have something to click on, right? And it's just, right now I'm in A and B testing. But is when I post to my social media, it'll be my podcast is up. Just the page. The podcast is up. Check it out. Not every single post. I already have my digital products up. Now I'm promoting my business. Promote the Business of Money podcast. But it's going to be a page and then maybe a couple of shorts with something to attract, a little music in the back with a short and then some reels or something like that. As opposed to repurposing the content and posting it all over social media. Now I don't want my stuff taken because I've watched other creators have their channels hijacked because they're taking their content. Nope, you can't do that. And on my website, my content, I can protect it. So in all my podcast audio sits on my website, and then I choose to figure out where I want to distribute that content versus sitting on YouTube and then all my content is gone because YouTube decides to change the algorithm or shut my site down. Nope, now it sits on my website and I can post it anywhere. And I'm all over Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the whole nine. You'll be able to see all of that. That's what I mean by your ecosystem. But all of that affects your revenue. So revenue growth without personal security. The real cost of guessing is when folks are using their credit cards to fund their business. And that's not necessarily creating revenue. You have to be able to create your revenue organically and not be so heavily reliant on debt. And that leads me to the last one, using credit to smooth uncertainty. Credit is keeping the business going, not revenues. Credit is keeping it. That's how you pay your expenses. That's how you are able to purchase your halls. That's how you're able to keep your subscriptions going. Not the revenue coming in from the business, but credit and personal credit at that, which makes it not deductible. So guessing creates invisible pressure, and invisible pressure eventually shows up as exhaustion for you. So what does clarity actually looks like? Clarity looks like knowing your monthly operating numbers from what it takes to run your business. Canva, for me, Canva, Zoom, Hostinger, and every now and then ChatGPT and the internet. The internet, Canva, Zoom, and Hostinger. Canva and Zoom are subscriptions. The internet, I use my personal hotspot because I don't like believe in paying for two internets, one for my home and one for my phone has internet. So that cut my cost dramatically. At $60 a month, I was paying for internet. That's a lot of money per year. Where it's $60 a month for my phone, I use my hotspot. So I've learned to be conservative with my time because I understand the cost and I'm saving myself quite a bit of money. For the short term, it's not a long-term solution, but I'm a startup. I'm not trying to spend all my money just acting as if, and I don't watch TV like that. I don't need the internet the same way. And we have internet at my apartment complex, which I'm going to jump on when I go over to the pool. So I'm already paying for the apartment. I might as well use their services, right? Right. Saving me money and reducing my need to use my hotspot all the time. See, I thought it was going to rain today. I see the sun coming out, which is why I started recording at home, but I'm watching the sun come out. So that's a good thing. But I have a conference room I can sit in and I can work over there also. But then when people come in, I don't want them having to hear my podcast and talking and, you know, they might do their own business. So, you know, but the point is it's available and I'm using my resource. I'm maximizing my resources. But clarity looks like knowing your monthly operating numbers. That's where I was going with that. The next one is understanding cash timing, which is what I was mentioning using my hotspot. But and looking at cash timing is when is your money coming in? If people aren't buying your products every single day, how are you managing your cash flow? So my sister and I had this conversation. She's a travel agent. And she gets a fee to talk to her. But if she's booking a trip, people don't pay her until after they take a trip. Well, if they take the trip, let's say she's working with a couple people who are booking a trip, but the trip's not till next year. She doesn't get paid till next year. I'm like, well, how do you manage your cash flows? She goes, yes, that's one of my problems. And then before, she didn't charge a fee for people to talk to her. I was like, if people come to see you, you need to charge them something for your time. And don't do anything free. You can have something free for about 5 minutes. What do you need? Group or individual? How many people? And then if you have a booking site, that answers all the questions. And once you answer the questions, I can see how I can help you. And then pay my booking fee so we can get started. And sometimes she's like, well, it works that way, but they like that person. I like to give the personal touch. Yeah, I don't. I'm not giving the personal touch. You have to book my session in order to sit and talk to me. And you have to book it up front. It's $200. And there's a question, very simple questions. What do you need help on and how can I help you? And what questions would you like to know? Pay my $200 and we can talk. And I don't have a phone number where you can reach me on my site. My phone number, I don't even think my phone number is on any of my social media. I don't want people calling me, wasting my time. So that's me understanding my cash timing is if I don't have revenue coming in, I can't help you. Until revenue comes in, I'm not doing too much in expenses and I'm not wasting time talking to clients who are not paying me. I'm also making sure that I have the systems in place, my accounting, meaning that my bank account, my bookkeeping is set up so I can start to bring in the cash flow and then I can see my statements so I know how often that cash is coming in and how often that cash is going out. But I do know that I have expenses due every month. So what I did was I paid up my hostinger because that's the most important expense that I have that is needed for me to run my business. So I just paid it all up front and I used my tax refund to do that. I did not have revenue coming in for that. So that's me paying into paid in capital for my business to keep my business running. Canva and Zoom are optional because I can use both free versions, right? So that reduced the need for me to have to worry about my site being on if my site's off, and then I can't, nobody can get to me. And so I had to prioritize my expenses. Next, you want to know what your break-even point is in terms of your break-even sales and your break-even units. How much do you need to make a profit? How much you need to do to so that your costs and your expenses, your revenue and your expenses are zero. They zero out and everything else is profit. And it's done in units. How many units do you need to sell? And it's done in dollars. How much you need to make? You want to know more about that? You want to book a session with me. And then being able to answer what happens if revenue drops 20%. What does it mean by 20%? If you don't understand that language, you need to book a session with me. Again, you can book me right on my website at womenswealthinstitute.com. So clarity isn't complicated. Clarity is very, very disciplined, and you should know your numbers. So here's the hard question. Can you answer the hard questions about what's really going on in your business? Or are you hoping to work, that things will work out for you? You need to book a session with me if you can't answer the hard questions. And you don't want to hope that things work out for you and your business. And that's where financial clarity comes in. That's where you book a session with me. So to wrap up, financial intelligence is what I teach solopreneurs. That's what WWI is all about. That's my background. I have a background. I'm MBA in financial management. I have a bachelor's in business administration. Those are my academic credentials. I have worked with small businesses, one-person businesses, mid-sized businesses, corporations, within a job as a business, and also volunteer, as well as just advising people on the financial side of their business. And working with students who come into this country, teaching and helping my students with their businesses because they were taking accounting classes, learning how to do bookkeeping, things like that. And they would come to me with their business problems. Or they have businesses in other countries. They are coming into this country. They wanted to learn about the American business system. That's what I taught. And then running my own business and seeing a lot of money come in and timing and taxes and things like that, driving Uber and just having cash come in daily. Like, I have this experience. So I have a body of knowledge. That's what I'm teaching and sharing, is being a financially intelligent solopreneur, because I think like a CFO and a CEO of the business. So it's really not about spreadsheets. Financial intelligence is about visibility. And when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. That's it. So if this resonated, we'll go deeper into this in future conversations. Tune into the Business of Money podcast. I don't do a weekly, daily, or I post every Monday, or check me out on every Wednesday. The post will be up for you to listen to at your convenience during your time, driving to work, trying to find something different to put in your head versus the promise of $100,000 if you go from zero to 10 days and all of a sudden you have $10,000. This is something that I believe is needed in our one-person business community, where you have something that you can listen to get your mind right. And there's many ways to interact with me. I have cocktails and conversations every Monday from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. So far, every Monday. It's on the website. Sign up. You register one time and then you show up. I don't do lives on YouTube because I'm building a community. I'm building an ecosystem. If you do see me on live, it would be on my Nia Patrick channel, and that's just me jumping on because I have more subscribers over there. So that's another reason why I don't go live on Women's Wealth Institute. I don't have enough subscribers yet. But if I jump online, Nia Patrick, my personal YouTube channel is connected to my Women's Wealth Institute. So you want to subscribe over there as well. And that link will also be down, put in the once I start to update at the time of recording. I'm not adding any kind of, you're only hearing this audio, but check back on the site, because when you create, when you're coming onto my site, I have an app. And the app sits on your mobile desktop, which I'll talk about at a much later date, so that you're able to get all the updates from my website. And I don't send out a newsletter regularly. You definitely want to get the app, then you can see the updates. Well, you'll see the link when you go into the YouTube at womenswealthinstitute.com. You'll see Nia Patrick, and you can sign up right then and there, and you can see if I go live. If you're on my email list, once I start putting that out, then you'll get that update that I'm going live or what have you. Or, but right now, the best way is joining cocktails and conversations. And then you can come on, you can ask me any question about your business. You can interact with other business owners. This is how I'm building the community. I'm also on Facebook at womenswealthinstitute.com, at Women's Wealth Institute. And all the links are on my website, and all the links are below under the podcast as well. But I have a free group that you can join. Again, post your business on there. That's what it's for. And so we can interact and build a community on there. And then I have the Women's Wealth Council, which is a private group for those who are interested in much more deeper conversations. So there's a lot of different ways to interact with me that really don't require anything, any money, but all you're doing is joining a community where we have these where I have these conversations, and where we can do a conversation about running your business better financially. You're not sharing your numbers, but you're getting more financial intelligent information from me and interacting with Women's Wealth Institute. And that's it. I know, 42 minutes in, but it's been my pleasure. My name is Nia Patrick. I am the host of the Business and Money Podcast. I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Have a great one.